He is risen. Yeah. He is risen. He is risen. If you get it read, I'll have it. Alrighty. So this is pretty wild, isn't it? This day, Easter Sunday, he is risen. And it's pretty cool when you're young in particular. So I've got two little boys. can you bring the photos of the boys up? There they are. That's them. That's Micah. He's the oldest. And Toby is the youngest. Now, when you're young, Easter Sunday is really, really cool, right? Like, there's chocolate, right? And this morning, my boys burst out of bed like two boys that knew they could have chocolate before breakfast. Only day of the year, not even Christmas, does that happen, right? Hot cross buns are always on the table. Family are just like more cheerful for some reason. You don't know why as a four-year-old. It's because it's a holiday and they don't have to go to work the next day. And when you get a bit older, Easter weekend is a day where I don't have to go to school on the Friday or the Monday. And I get chocolate. Every adult wants to give me chocolate. I might get dragged around to some family things, but actually I'm mostly just going to sit in the car and play my Game Boy and eat chocolate. It's pretty wild, but as you get older, and in my house, we do this cool thing where we have tomb eggs. Do you want to show the next photo? Oh, no. Never mind. There it is. So it's like you get a piece of toast and then you fry an egg in the middle of it, and the little bit you've cut out of the egg, you stick that on top like the stone, and then a kid gets to like roll it out of the way and eat it, and it's very fun, right? We don't do it any other time because, to be honest, he actually doesn't eat it. He just plays with it. But it's a cool thing that he gets to do, and there are these kind of traditions that we'll all have in it when we think about growing up with Easter in this country. You can drop all the photos now that make it special. But when you get older, that kind of stuff just starts to lose its magic, doesn't it? Happens with Easter, happens with Christmas, happens with birthdays, and you just get to the point where you start thinking, oh yeah, another one, another one, another one. Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Adam. Oh, golly.
In case you're wondering what this is, this is so those with hearing aids can actually hear me. Hello. Fantastic. All right, we've got it. Cool. Thank you for your patience on that one. So it starts to lose its magic, doesn't it? The whole special thing. And the most important thing that you're going to hear today is he is risen. He is risen. Has it lost a little bit of its magic? Have you said it this year for the 50th, 60th, 70th time? A year in a row. Have you said it for the fifth, sixth, or seventh year in a row? Even the third, right? Maybe it's lost a bit of its magic. But it shouldn't, should it? Because it's pretty incredible because he is risen. Jesus Christ was literally crucified, died, was buried, and then he rose from the dead. How many of you have done that? How many people do you know that have done that? Like, not that many, right? And actually, it goes even further than that. If he hasn't been raised from the dead, then this whole thing is a huge joke. If Jesus is still in the tomb, everything we do all year is a big waste of time. And out of 1 Corinthians from the Apostle Paul, he says, we are to be pitied above everything. Anyone else. But he is risen. So I wonder what it would have been like hearing that on that first Easter Sunday. Before you had any opportunity to be inoculated to it, before it had gotten a bit tired or old, right? And that's what our passage and our story talks about today, right? The first Easter Sunday when it was all new. And what I want to do is I want to walk us through that day, and I want to start with the twilight, right? The early hours of the morning when the sun is just thinking about peeking its head up over the hill. And then we're going to move into the morning and the afternoon and the evening. And then finally, we're going to hit midnight. And we're going to hear people say, "He is risen," again and again that day. And I want you to think about, where are you on that day? So before we get to our text, we start our story tonight with, and another thing that happened on that day. So the stuff that happens just before, that's probably a little bit relevant to what we want to talk about. And what that is it's the first occurrence in Luke's story of Jesus where he is risen from the dead. First time we hear about it. So four women that have been hanging out with Jesus for years go to the tomb that morning, and they see that the stone has been rolled away, right? We're in the twilight, yeah? The sun might be just peeking its head over the hills. People haven't really woken up yet, but these women have gone, the stone's rolled away. The guards that were there, gone. And there's an angel sitting on top of the stone, and he says, "Hey, don't be afraid. He is not here because he's risen." He's risen indeed. Feel free to jump in every time I say it. And then he says, "Go and tell the disciples that this has happened." And so they do. They run and they burst into the room where the disciples are meeting or are praying or are weeping or are fearful. And they burst into the room and they say, "Guess what, everyone? The stone's been rolled away and an angel met us there. And Jesus isn't in the tomb because he is risen." And they don't believe them. They go, "Oh, that's a bit much for 3 a.m., girls. Come on." But a few of them go, "We got to check it out." And they run down to the tomb to check it out. But Jesus isn't there. They don't see him, but they see a stone rolled away and an empty tomb. The twilight. Could he be? And then we move into the morning, and that's where our story picks up, isn't it? We've got two guys, two disciples of Jesus. Who are they? They were people that knew Jesus, that walked with him, that were disciples, but they weren't like part of the 12. They weren't one of the ones that we know necessarily. They weren't apostles, but they were people that had been following Jesus for a while. In Luke 10, it talks about Jesus sending 70 people to various towns. Likely, these two were two of those people. And so these guys hear this news, right? They're in that room when the women burst in and say, "Guys, he's alive." And they don't hang about. They don't talk about it with the rest of the disciples. They don't wait for someone to make a leadership call. No, they get out of there. They go, "Where I'm out. I don't know what's going to happen from this. Like, all I know is the temple's going to be mad and the Romans are probably going to be pretty cranky. We are getting out of Dodge." So they do. And so they're on the road, right? But they're still racking it over in their brain. They're like, "What is going on?" There is a slide for that. Oh, never mind. There it is, yeah. They're like, "What is happening? I'm so confused." And what do you do with confusion? I resonate with these guys because I like to walk it, yeah? I want to talk with someone or myself. I'm just going, "All right, what is going on? Like, Jesus has rose from the grave? Like, people don't do that, but he kind of talked about it a lot, didn't he? We can lose Jackie Chan now." And so they're walking it. I think that's what these guys are doing. Probably a bit scared, but I think they're talking it out. They got on because they needed to move. Like, "I can't sit around here. I got to move." We don't know why they're going to Emmaus. I think it's because it was about 4 hours away. So they knew that they were close enough to come back if they had to, but far enough away to avoid any immediate fallout. If you want to get really like fancy about it, it might have been the town that those two went to when they went out as the 70, but that's all conjecture, right? They went there. And so they're on the way to this place and they know they got the whole day just to talk it out, right? They left late because this thing happened in the morning. And so they're chewing on it. And then Jesus, he actually draws near, doesn't he? He, as they're kind of seeking and trying to understand and trying to wrap their head around it, Jesus comes close. And it reminds me of the scripture that says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and you will find. God is going to draw near to those that are earnestly wrestling with and trying to understand him. But these guys don't recognize him. Now, there's absolutely nothing in our story to suggest that this is a miraculous non-recognizing. This isn't like a God made him look like, I don't know, a foot taller and much more muscular. It's not that. It's just that they didn't know who he was. Nothing fancy about it. And so Jesus starts to question them, doesn't he? He goes, oh, what are you talking about? And one of them is a lot like me. He goes, what do you mean you don't know what we're talking about? How do you not know about Jesus? How have you been in Jerusalem at all in the last week and you haven't caught up with this? And man, I do that. I don't do it anywhere near as much as I did when I was 20. But far out, if you did told me you hadn't read this book or seen that film, particularly the Star Wars films, when I was 20, I was like, what do you mean you haven't seen Star Wars? I reckon that's what this guy's doing. And then he's on a roll, right? Cleopas is the name that we get. And he's just on a roll at that point. And he's going, this has happened. This guy Jesus came and he was an incredible teacher and an incredible miracle worker, right? In word and deed are what we hear in the story. And which essentially means he told us some really cool stuff about God that actually really shatters our understanding of who he is. And he could do some miracles, actually a lot of miracles. But now our oppressors, the Romans, and our religious leaders got together and they killed him, crucified him, our friend, now dead, in front of us like that. And he was the one that we thought was going to redeem in our text, but better said, liberate Israel, us, our people, right? You see, Cleopas here and the disciples had again misunderstood who Jesus was revealing himself to be. They thought they had a Messiah to come and throw the Romans out of Jerusalem. But Jesus is about to show us that it's not that kind of operation. And Jesus says, and then Cleopas goes on, but I guess it is the third day, right? And you have to imagine, what is he thinking at this point? Is he like, he kind of talked about the third day a bit, 3 days. There was that moment at the temple where they kicked him out and he said some stuff about 3 days later. And he's really starting to just process verbally, I think. And then some of our women went to the tomb and then he wasn't in it. The stone was gone. But then some of our men went and then he wasn't there, but they found an empty tomb and nobody saw Jesus yet. And Jesus' response is actually pretty funny. And it can look pretty harsh to us because he says, oh, you fools. But there's no contempt in this, yeah? There's no contempt in Jesus. It's kind of like the image is like, they're not sharp enough. Like a whetstone has kind of run out of gas, like you need to like fix it. Someone that like sharpens a sword. He's essentially saying, think harder. You're nearly there. Keep pushing. Take everything you've got and look at it better. Get this idea of me as a vanquisher out of your head and you'll get it. And then he goes on to tell them about all of the stuff in their God story so far that points to him, points to the Savior as being one that has to suffer, die, and then, only then, be glorified. And so now we move into the afternoon and he starts to teach. He's taken them as far as they can go with what they've currently got, and he starts to drop other stuff in, right? He starts to explain Zechariah 10, where 12, sorry, talking about the one pierced. If you know anything about crucifixion, there's a bit of piercing that happens. Isaiah 53, he talks about the suffering servant. You have to imagine them just on the edge of their seats here. And then my favorite, Isaiah 50, verse 6, talks about the Messiah's beard being plucked out. And then an image of a beardless man telling a story to these two disciples that should know him with a full beard comes to mind. And is it any wonder that they didn't recognize him? Not only had he entered glory, but he was without a beard. But something in them recognizes him, right? Like they're stirred up. They're going, oh my gosh, like, yeah, more, tell us more. And they get to where they're going. It's now the evening. And Jesus goes to leave. And they say, no, stay. You've got to stay with us. And so he does. And they come in and he takes the bread and he breaks it. He blesses it, and it's it, which is not his job, by the way. Like, it's not his house. He's the guest. That's the, like, social equivalent of me coming to your house on family lunch, like extended family lunch, and taking the carving knife off of your grandfather and carving up the lamb. Like, that's the social equivalent of that thing in but way worse. But they're there. They're right there with him. They're like, yeah, please. And he breaks the bread and he blesses it. And I wonder what happened for them to get it, right? Because if it's not a miraculous thing, maybe it is, he just opened his arms. And all of a sudden, the beardless face and the pierced skin and hands, it clicks for them. And they have gone from the morning to the afternoon into the evening, started wrestling. Could he? I don't really know and I don't understand. And we thought it was this. And then he comes in and it's like, don't you see? I had to suffer this and this, and it's all here in your God story. And then in the evening, it all clicks. And they go, he is risen! And Jesus, he disappears. Again, not necessarily miraculous. He just goes, cool, that's done, and he's out the door, right? Bit of pandemonium as they kind of get their bearings. And then they take their 3 to 5 hour journey back on the road and they run back to Jerusalem. Now we're in midnight. It had to have taken them at least 3 hours, right? 70 miles. And they burst into where they know the disciples are going to be. That's the rest of their crew. And they say, guess what? And the disciples say, we know he appeared to Simon. Which is essentially the first time anyone ever said, he is risen. And our disciples say, he is risen indeed. Whoa. What a first Easter Sunday that would have been. What an incredible moment for the church to go from twilight to midnight. To as a community move through their wrestling and their churning and their chewing. Because the most important thing any of them heard all day was that he is risen, right? And it's the most important thing that you will hear today. But what time are you hearing it? Maybe you're hearing it in the twilight. And if you're hearing it in the twilight, that's okay. Because maybe all you leave today with is, oh, maybe he is. And eventually God is going to call you into the morning. And in the morning, you can wrestle it out. And you can do that with someone. Or you can do that with God in prayer. Or you can just do it by yourself. Like read the Bible. Like explore ideas about God. And just be like, what is going on here? If you felt that in the twilight, maybe he is. I don't know. It'd be cool if he was. The image here is that we now start to chew chew through it, figure it out. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done all of that you can do, and it's time for you to move into the afternoon, and it's actually time to get some input because you've gone about as far as you can go by yourself. That's what these guys had done. They couldn't quite get there. Have you ever been right on the edge of figuring something out and you just can't get it? And you're like, why can't I figure it? Especially if you've had it at one point too. You go, what was that? Oh, and how do I? And then you have one conversation with somebody about it and they just help you see it from another perspective and you go, that's it. That's the afternoon. Get some input. Allow someone to help you see the God story that is laid out for all of us to take hold of. And then it might be time to move into the evening. Jesus, please don't go anywhere. Come in. Maybe I'm not over the line yet. You don't have to be over the line to be like, okay, I'm open if this is legit. That's what these guys did. They were like, oh, I don't know why, but you shouldn't leave. Something in me wants you here. And it's at that point, when you step into the presence of God, or just stop running from it. Okay, maybe. All right. It seems to check out. That Jesus appears to reveal himself to us, where it'll just click, where we'll find ourselves blessed, and all of the things that we thought were coincidence, we'll understand as actually just being God at work in our lives. Our families, our jobs, our likes, our dislikes, all the stuff that makes us, that makes us think that our life is good. Maybe we'll come to understand that as just being the blessing of God. That is, that he is with us in that. Not that he's just given us stuff, but that he's with us. And if that's you, if you've been there for a while and you're like, he is risen, and you should get pumped up about he is risen, right? And look, we all do it. Then your job is to run back to Jerusalem and tell your friends. Your job is to do it all again. Go back through that journey and tell your friends. Run back to Jerusalem. Burst into where you know the people of God are and be like, guess what? And you will find a bunch of people that have been doing it for decades. And they will bless you. Because the beauty about Christianity is that you don't have to do it all by yourself. You don't have to figure out the mysteries of God by yourself. Because heaps of people for a very long time have been faithfully praying and discerning and wrestling and figuring out how it is that God has shown himself to us and where it is that we come in to that story. So be encouraged, all of you in particular, that now you get to share it. So where do you sit? Where have you heard he is risen today? As we move into the next part of our sermon, I'd love you to just reflect on that. Where am I in the day? If you're leaving here with, oh, maybe, praise God. If you're leaving here wrestling, great, don't do it alone, but keep moving. If you're leaving here knowing you need some input, something in the afternoon, come and have a chat with me or someone that you trust. If you're leaving here going, oh, he is risen, well then praise God for that too. Let me pray as we finish. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help each and every one of us know where you have us in the day. God, I pray that you would bless us to continue to walk with you, to wrestle with you, to grow more like you, and to to give ourselves to you. Even if it's just, okay, maybe. And we thank you that you're faithful to keep walking with us wherever we are.